Hello and welcome to episode 27 of That Yoga Woman's podcast, a podcast where yogis, yoga teachers and studio owners share stories of their lives on and off the mat. I'm Jules Buchanan, a yoga teacher and your host. This week, I'm talking to Kirsty Elliott. Kirsty's based down in Dorset and is founder of The Yoga Within. She runs weekly classes in local villages, places like Berwick St John, Motcombe, Fontmell Magna and Iwerne Minster, if that's how you say it. They sound so picturesque, don't they? Little Dorset villages. She's also, like many of us, continuing her online classes for the time being via Zoom. So I'll be asking her what her thoughts are on that, as well as the future of online classes. As well as weekly classes, Kirsty runs monthly workshops at an old redeveloped meal space and participates in an annual festival in Shaftesbury about wellness, bringing yoga, Pilates and Qigong for free to the local community over the summer in conjunction with her local council. I'm really interested to hear more about how that came about and understand whether it's something that other yoga teachers might be able to replicate in their local area. As well as being a busy yoga teacher with a thriving business, her classes are pretty much fully booked every week. Kirsty is a married mum of two young children and has three dogs. So I'll be asking her how she finds running her business alongside her family commitments. Kirsty predominantly teaches Dru yoga alongside Yin and Yoga Nidra. And this isn't something I know much about, so I'm keen to understand more about what her classes are like. Kirsty is also a Reiki master, so as well as finding out more about how she got into yoga and subsequently became a teacher, I'd also like to find out when she started Reiki and how she blends the two areas together. She's also really into horses. I'm not sure how else you'd say that without it sounding a bit odd, but I read that she was a professional horse rider, and last year she worked with her local Riding for the Disabled Association to develop yoga sessions with horses, which are a great success. So I'm going to ask her what that's all about as well. I really hope you enjoy listening to my conversation with Kirsty. So Kirsty, thank you and welcome to That Yoga Woman's podcast.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Nice to see you. I just need to talk to you about the villages that I mentioned when I did your introduction there, where you teach. They sound so lovely and just picturesque little villages. I bet the village halls are absolutely gorgeous. I'm visiting like roses round the door. Is that the reality of teaching in those villages?
I'm not sure about roses round the door. Actually, one of my village halls in Fontmell Magna, there will be roses round the door because they next door to that hall is an amazing friendship garden that the village has planted to do like cut flowers and bring the community together. The halls are, yeah, they're typical kind of village halls. I wouldn't say they're elite yoga studios, but do you know what? They're amazing. What all my lovely yogis bring into the classes is just something spectacular. And I think it really matters more what's on the inside of the room rather than the hall floor that has just been brushed by me before we start the class.
Oh yes, yeah. So you have to do the little old sweep up before you come in. Do you have issues with heating not being switched on in time and stuff like that in the winter?
Yeah, you know that. Yeah, it's all of that. And then my lovely yogis are either, they're a demanding group, they're either too hot or too cold. And then they have to no kind of elite heating facilities, just the good old basics. And I think now we've got all the doors open and everything else, it's really nice at the moment because the weather is really good. But my as I say, my amazing yogis who come even in the winter, I had one of my yogis come and we were discussing silk thermals in a yoga class.
Silk thermals?
I have yet to purchase any, but yeah, they're quite a thing. So if ever you're a bit chilly going to yoga class, embrace some silk thermals.
I mean, I've heard of like silk though, like I would have thought like woolly knitted would have been like
the woolly knitted itchy version. No,
there's a new thing where it's all silk and quite fancy. Okay, yeah. I'll have a little Google of that. And I've seen from your timetable that you're continuing with online classes for now. So we're recording just before the episode release. So where are we? End of June now. Yep. So you're going back to in-person classes. You've started those. How's that been for you?
Yeah, it's been so good. I think I'm kind of on, what week am I on? I think I'm on week four now of live classes and also online classes. And everybody has been just so grateful and so joyous to be back together, like in a space, alongside being a little bit cautious as well. I think yoga online has been fantastic, but I just don't think you can beat being together. And all my yogis love a good old natter before the class and a good old natter after the class. And it's just so nice to see them smiling behind their face masks as they, you know, like gather and get together. But sometimes I have to tell them that they're not on Zoom because I ask them a question and there's dead silence. Did you enjoy that? I said, you're not in a Zoom box now. You can all reply. it's really good. It takes a little bit of racing around to kind of get from class to everything else. But no, it's really good. And I'm really enjoying being back with all my yogis.
So do you do separate classes for Zoom and separate classes for like in person? You don't try and do a hybrid of the two with cameras in the corner or anything like that?
Oh, no. So I'm not very technical, which showed up very much in the session I've just taught this morning and it was on Zoom. So I was doing a specific back class on Zoom this morning, teaching away. And then the screen went blank and I was like, oh no. And I'd put my charger into the computer, but I hadn't turned it on at the socket.
Right.
So I had my class and they're so dutiful that by the time I'd plugged back in, got some charge, got back in, they were all still there. Like, where did you go? So I'm not a technical whiz. And yeah, full respect to yoga teachers who can set cameras up and record and do that and do everything else. If I start my class on time, I'm doing really well.
Oh dear. And I think everybody's been there though with the old plug in and forget to switch it on at the socket. It's just annoying, isn't it? Because you're like, what's happening? I've plugged it in. It's been plugged in hours. There's hardly any charge left. Oh yeah, I've not switched it on. You're not on your own there. Everyone's done that, I reckon.
Oh, good. And
do you think online classes are here to stay, in your opinion?
Oh, definitely. Like 100%. And I think I'm sure like many other, not even yoga teachers, but yogis and everyone, what we're able to access online has been like amazing. And I think from yogis who come to class, they just love it. Like I do an online class on a Monday evening because people come from work. They don't want to go back out into like a cold hall and do a practice. They just want to have a cup of tea, put it down, fling their slippers off and do some yoga. And I love, from being a really passionate kind of yoga practitioner, I can access people all over the world and have them in my room and teach me things which are just amazing. So yeah, 100% it's here to stay. And isn't it funny, because a couple of years ago, if someone had said to me we'd be chatting like this, talking about how great online was, I'd be like, what, where's my computer?
Yeah.
How do you turn it on?
Exactly. I mean, yeah, to be able to access people like teachers that aren't local, because I've like, you're at the opposite end of the country from me pretty much, aren't you? Where you're based down in Dorset, aren't you?
Yeah.
And yeah. I'm up in the northeast in Northumberland. So like to access like London-based teachers or teachers that, you know, very rarely, you know, you'd have to really spend a lot of money to get to potentially a studio that you want, if you want to try a particular teacher you've seen online or whatever. So yeah, to have access to those types of classes, yeah, it's not the same as the real thing, but it is, you know, or you know, it's not necessarily as good an experience, but it's still really good that we can do it.
I give you a giggle. I signed up for this amazing Qigong training by in LA, and he was like, whoa. And I had myself all set up, so I had, my husband was looking after the kids, I had, you know, it was all, because it was live on Zoom, set up 3 o'clock, ready to go on a Saturday. And I was like, where is everyone? And I emailed being like, I'm waiting. And they were like, no, it's 3 o'clock our time.
Oh, no.
So I had Saturday nights at 8 o'clock for 24, was it? No, about 20 weeks. I had 8 to 9 Qigong on a Saturday night. And I was like, you're mad. And so, yeah. Always get your timings right.
Yeah. Note to self, don't forget the old time zone issue. So as well as your weekly classes and monthly workshop, I read that you're involved in an annual, well, I know that you're involved in an annual summer wellness festival with the local council, your local Shaftesbury council. Can you tell me a bit more about that and how it came about and also what it involves?
Okay, so I one of my main passions, this is where it all came about from, was that I love teaching yoga to everybody. And I love teaching yoga to people who perhaps feel a little bit anxious about moving their bodies or feel a little bit that yoga's not for them. They're the type of people I'm like, yoga is for you. It's amazing. And we, Shaftesbury Town is just, if you've never been, you must come and experience it. It's amazing. It's steeped in history and we've got a beautiful abbey, and outside the beautiful abbey is a lovely space that overlooks, just views are spectacular. And I thought, do you know what? I want to just do some free yoga and I want to say, it's free, come along. If you don't enjoy it, you get your money back. And so I set about just like putting some posters up and asked the council, was it okay? And they said, yeah, it's free, so you don't need to pay anything. And I had about over 60 people come to my first free class, which was amazing. My dutiful yogi followers took probably half those spaces and then dragged their other halves along. And anyway, and I did that for probably 2 years, and did it as part of the Fringe Festival, which is like an art festival we have in Shaftesbury. And then anyway, the councils were like, oh, you get quite a lot of people here and they all look as if they're really enjoying it. Would you like to do some more? And perhaps we could sponsor you to do it. So they phoned me up and were like, there's a grant available. So there's a pot of money that we have, and we have to put it towards something which is making people active in an open space. So I was like, oh, hang on, I could do that. I could do a bit of yoga in an open space. And through the grant, I was able to, it was from London's Marathons Trust. And they were, they were just really supportive of getting all the, they paid for all like the, I have a headset now and a PA system. I've gone up in the world. Got a couple of flags and some banners, and they helped with advertising. I was paid for my time, which is amazing. And yeah, it was just amazing. And that was last year. And then this year, because the feedback was so great, the council themselves have sponsored the event and have done that in conjunction with another kind of body called Active Dorset, who really want people to become active and feel better. So they've worked with Shaftesbury Council to say, do you want to do some more yoga? And I said, yeah, why not this year? We do Pilates and Qigong and make it into a morning of like health and wellness. And they were like, yeah. And I had to speak at the Shaftesbury Council meeting, which was, I felt very proud of myself chatting about yoga to these councillors. Some of them had to maybe do a little bit more yoga themselves. So yeah, it's amazing. And then I hope year after year that I, really build it. And it's just amazing. I had over last Saturday, we had over 120 people come through the morning. And it was just great to see everybody coming together in a big open space, smiling and laughing and moving and just feeling better than they did when they walked in, when they walked out. Yeah. So yeah, it's just amazing.
Oh, and I can't believe it was last weekend. That's so good. And so there's plans to continue on with it. And I think I was wondering whether you think it's something you can, other teachers might be able to replicate in their local area, because I was going to ask you about whether they actually paid for your time, because it's one thing doing something and say people saying, oh yeah, your profile is going to be raised. Essentially, you're working for free in the hope that you'll get some business out of it. But no, they actually did pay you for your time that you taught the class and stuff like that.
Yeah. And wholeheartedly, I know I never did it with the intention to raise my profile. When you do something and you fin, and this was my first ever free session, there was nothing, you know, nothing between anyone. I finished it and I was like, I need to do this. This is like my dharma. This is my calling. This is it. And I've never thought, oh, it will raise my profile. Wholeheartedly, I haven't. But it's a great way to do that if that's what you want to do. And 100%, I would say, if you're a yoga teacher and you're passionate and you don't mind standing up in front of a big group of people being like, yeah, do yoga, not because you're bendy and have got the right yoga leggings on, but because you want to feel a bit better, and go to your council and say that, you know, I've got this type of exercise that's going to make people feel better, da 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 da. Is there anything you could do to support me to do that? And they're really like, the council pays me for my time to prepare the sessions, to do the marketing side of it. They then pay you properly for your time there. And yeah, really value you, which I think sometimes in this yoga industry, sometimes it's hard to value yourself, isn't it? And to kind of say, yeah, but I think yoga is so needed at the moment. And for me to be able to work with the NHS in my area from like Active Dorset, who work with our local surgery, the NHS have, you know, supported it financially, going, yeah, this is going to really help. So 100% go and just say, hello, I'm here. This is what I do. Are there opportunities for me to do this? And always say, because you've heard that someone else has done it in Shaftesbury with great success. And if they want to contact Shaftesbury and speak to, you know, the people who have supported me, then yeah, by all means. And then we can have free yoga throughout every town, through the whole of Britain.
So how does that work then? I know you said, oh, everywhere would have free yoga, which is great, but there's teachers thinking, oh, hang on a minute, but I charge for my classes, it's my living, I need to make some money. So how does that, like the free aspect of it, that's not every week, is it? What? How does it work, Kirsty?
So you get paid as if you were teaching a class. Mm-hmm. So the people who are coming, don't need to pay, but you get paid by the council, or you get paid by your sponsors. So the thing to make it, it's not so much, it's free so that everybody can come. So if people can't afford to come to a yoga class, they could come to that. So you get paid for your time to teach, you get paid for your time, you know, to prepare, and you get paid to your time to market. So it's not, it's like a proper class.
Yeah, it's not like it's just charity. You're not giving the money, your time away for nothing.
No.
And is it just over the summer, presumably, if it's outside?
Yes. And then I'm addicted now to the weather forecast. Oh my God. So we're going for the next four Saturdays. So we do them like consecutively. And the weather for Saturday doesn't look great. And then it's the whole thing of like, you know, the responsibility of, will I cancel? Won't I cancel? And then to make sure you get in contact with everyone who's coming. And then some people just turn up. So I don't know. But yes, it is going over the summer, weather dependent. So some salutations for me.
Definitely. Oh, so that sounds like really good if people have got their local council details, especially if there's another active, like I know where I am, there's an active Northumberland. So that's something for people to, it's more likely to happen if they know a business that must be a link in some way.
So say you've heard that Active Dorset have supported an event in Shaftesbury, and use me as a bit of a, like, what's going on there? Why can't we do it here?
Sounds good. Other teachers, yeah, listen up. Yeah. All right. So, Kirsty, I've known you just a few months. Seems to me, from what you've said, your classes are really busy, which is great. You get really good attendance. That's from what we've chatted about in the past. So it sounds like your business is absolutely thriving, which is fab, isn't it? Do you do a lot of marketing to get that kind of attendance level, or do you just believe in the power of word of mouth?
I have to say marketing is my weakness, I would say. And I think I'm like everyone. I always find it hard to put myself out there and go, come to my yoga classes. They're amazing. And I think also where I live in quite a rural kind of community, and it is all by word of mouth. It's by, you know, people saying, oh, come to her class, you know, it's not all bendy and stretchy, it's really easy, I can do it, and then why don't you come to class and we can go for a cup of tea after. So it's very much like a gathering, you know, like a community draw in, plus they do a little bit of, you know, yoga, and then they get to be with each other afterwards. I try and do marketing and you know, like Facebook posts, and I can't do Instagram. I just can't get on with the whole like photo thing and trying to look glamorous and, you know, strong and, oh, I'm just me. And it's, yeah, I don't know. My husband keeps on saying, oh no, you need to, you know, get on with Instagram. But yeah, I can't do it.
Oh, well, I think with Instagram, what I've heard is that people are nicer. So I was really late to Facebook. I joined Instagram first, and it seems to be a much kinder place than Facebook. That's what, not through direct experience, but just from what I've heard from other people. Facebook, people can say some quite mean things, can't they, and not really have any repercussions, because Instagram doesn't seem to be as mean. Maybe that's changing, I don't know. But yeah, it's quite interesting. So are there any marketing you think is a weak point? Is there any other area of your business that you'd like to focus more time and attention on?
Probably all of it, because all of it. I laugh to myself, but I have, as I'm sure we'll talk about through this podcast, I've got two young kids who are 4 and 6. I've got 3 dogs. I've got 2 chickens. I've got a husband. I've got a house. And I try and do everything, and I always giggle with my husband when I'm like 5 minutes, I'm about to like jump on and teach a class, and I'm still have kids hanging off me. I'm still trying to like cook the dinner. I was like, I have to go and do my stuff now. Can I go and have a go? And then the other day I was sat at the table trying to, you know, like do, you know, emails, get on top of things, admin. And then the chicken comes in, jumps on the table, and then jumps on top of the laptop. I'm like, and then continues to do chicken stuff all around the kitchen floor. So yeah.
Nice. Yeah. You're not the first. There's Paula, who I interviewed on this podcast. She has chickens and she gives them names, of course. Do you have names for yours, presumably?
Yeah. So one's called Elsa and one is called She-Ra.
Did your kids have a handle in naming those by any chance?
No, not at all.
She-Ra. Oh no, I used to love She-Ra. I would say She-Ra.
I know She-Ra. It's now a Netflix series that my sister. Yes. And do you not remember He-Man? So it was more He-Man, wasn't it, than She-Ra?
Yeah, but I always liked She-Ra. I thought she was like, yeah, power to the women. I mean, He-Man was all right, but She-Ra was like, oh, I used to look up to her a bit more.
You need to look at her outfits. I tell you what, my 6-year-old has got some really good like She-Ra clothes. So now and again, she'll just like come out of her room as She-Ra and be like, She-Ra. And I'm like, not that. You know those.
Oh, that's nice that it's carrying on. I think it's quite good. I was going to ask you about your work-life balance, because I knew that you'd got a lot kind of going on at home. Did you have to work to bring that work-life balance then? Do you find it a struggle, or does it just flow naturally because that's how it has to be?
It doesn't flow naturally at all. It's like chaos. I think it's but I have to be very kind of like organized, but it is just general, you know, chaos, I would say. I think it is when you've got young kids, and I think it is when you've got three dogs and a husband. I can feel myself getting chaotic now. So no, it's not, and it's not, I'd love to say it was very yogic and very smooth and easy and everything else, but real life isn't. It's always a little bit of, I'm very guilty of taking on far too much and being like, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. Of course I can do that. And then my husband's like, really, how? You know? So yeah, I'm always kind of like catching my tail and yeah, kind of muddling through. And that's how it has been for quite a while. And I love it. I love being like that. And we get to sit down, my husband and I, probably about maybe 9 o'clock, we get to sit down on the couch. And you think, that's the first time I've sat down all day. And I remember before kids, like, I'd spend loads of time just sat down, hanging out, not doing much. And it's like, wow, I should have enjoyed that much, much more.
Yeah, I don't have kids, Kirsty, so I do sit down.
I do. Every moment. I bet you get into meeting like 9 o'clock at night. You're like, what?
I know. Well, no, I do have like sit down some afternoons, and I know how lucky I am and grateful I am to just have that bit of alone time and think, no, actually, I'll do that bit of work, or I'll do this, or, you know, and or have a bit of time to myself and have a cup of tea and a bit of biscuit.
So when I'm doing my yoga practice, and so recently I've been doing like yin yoga. Mm. I love yin yoga. And what's great is that when I'm practicing, I just get to stay in these beautiful poses for like 5-6 minutes, and my husband comes in and I'm like, no, I'm working. Don't disturb me.
Yeah, I'm very busy.
Yeah, and obviously, like, when I, you know, I'm at the end and I'm deeply relaxing, and he comes in and I'm just like, no, pretend you're not here, or meditating. So my yoga practice is my sanctuary of coming, because it's work and I need to be there quietly.
Do you have a regular practice?
Yes, I would say I have a regular practice, but I wouldn't say it's a regular practice on the mat. I would say, and I'd say that's like with every yogi, I don't have time to spend an hour on myself, but I have time to, when I go out or go for a walk or go for a run, to be, you know, like very mindful and finding like movement in my body and, you know, feeling the breath. So yeah, I definitely say that and I feel a little bit like my yoga practice is coming into every part of my life, rather than, it's not, my yoga practice certainly isn't right now I've got time to do a practice. When I'm preparing classes, I obviously, that is, I need to take a good couple of hours to get into the practice. But not for my own self, no. And my yoga practice, my own personal practice, has always kind of been like that, you know, and just like doing postures and breathing outside, and yeah, just being with it in life rather than make it something that I need to stop life to do.
Oh, that's, I really like the way you've put that. That's a really nice way of thinking about it, isn't it? Just to do it as part of life rather than stopping life. That's really lovely. So just going back to your dogs, please. You've got three of them. I'd like to hear more about them, please.
Oh, God, really?
Yes, I've got one, so I'd like to hear more about yours. So are they? What have you got?
Oh, I've got one. So one of them is my dog, and he's a lovely black Labrador, and he's very chilled out, very relaxed, and just lovely. And then we've got two other dogs, which are my husband's dogs, and they are two working Cocker Spaniels, and they are mad, absolutely mad. They pay no attention to me, and you would take them out for a walk for like 2 hours and then bring them back and let them in the house, and they're still padding around, running around. Mom, what are you doing? And they are my husband's dogs, and they pay no attention to me whatsoever. But as soon as my husband is back, then they are like sitting to attention and, you know, like on point. But yeah, not with me. And I have to be very careful with them at the moment with the chickens, because one of them had the chickens nearly in his mouth. So I was around the garden. but luckily we avoided any fatalities and the chickens are still fine. But the lab will walk past the chickens and not even bat an eyelid. He's just very chilled out.
So does the lab treat you as his boss then?
Oh no, he just treats me as his mum. The lab, again with my husband, because he works the dogs and he does like field trials with them, which is like proper dog competitions. So my husband, when he takes the lab out, he probably sees my husband as the boss and sees me as the really soft touch.
Okay.
We give them bits and stuff.
Why I ask is because we've got Black Lab and he's his dad's dog. I'm just like, who are you? I'm in the way to get to his dad. Like, I'm just this other person who has to share the space. If I could just disappear, it'd be him and his dad forever. And that's what he'd love to have. So like whenever his dad's away, he's just like looking at the door, listening at the door. Where is he? And I'm just like rubbish. But then interestingly, if I go away and I come back, even just like for an hour or two, he's really happy to see me. So that is nice. Like, it's not just, blatant disregard for me. He is quite loving, but I just wondered I presume I'll probably have to Google this, but whether women can be like masters of working dogs or...
I don't know. Like, I think certain types of dogs, like the Spaniels, you need to be incredibly in charge of them and quite in some ways overpowering of them to listen. One of our Spaniels is very highly strung, so he's very well bred and he's nuts, and he just won't listen to me. But with my husband, I wouldn't say that my husband's terribly authoritative, but he just connects with dogs straight away, and we need to do like a tall, like warrior posture. Come back.
Yeah, it's definitely in the voice, isn't it? Yeah. And it is in like the motion, everything, maybe that's it. Yeah. So I'm too soft. I'm just like, I'll treat him like a little baby.
You know, like, need to bring in that warrior.
Yeah, exactly, definitely. So Kirsty, I also read that you were a professional horse rider, which I was like, what? What is this? Can you tell me more about that? Like, was that your previous career to yoga? And when did you stop? Just tell me and the listeners about that.
For me, it's like, and I'm sure everyone can relate to this, like you've had two lives. So my life before being a wife and a mum, I was passionate about horses, and I managed to, I got my first horse at 13, trained him up to quite a high level in dressage. So dressage was my thing, like the dancing with the horses. And then a top trainer from Surrey invited me down to his yard to train, which was incredible. I think I was only like 16, 17. And everyone was on their big fancy horses and I was on like my little pony riding. And then to cut a long story short, I wanted to just ride, and my parents were like, no, you have to go to university. So I was like, okay, well, I could do equine science and I could bring my horse and do a degree in horses. So they were like, okay. And then after doing that, so finished the degree and then was like, right, let's get back to riding. And I ended up having some beautiful horses and riding up to Grand Prix level, which is a really high level in dressage. And then competed just under Grand Prix level and did quite well. And I used to break horses in and I used to run big yards and teach lots of people how to ride their horses of all levels. And then I probably did that for maybe 10 years. And then I was at a big competition and I'd won. And I've never felt so depressed in my whole life. I was just like, this is just rubbish. I'm on my own. I'm, you know, I should be really pleased. I've got no partner. I've got no friends. I'm just in this void of training and riding, and the lady I worked for was not a very pleasant lady, and it was just in a really bad space. And so I was like, right, that's it, I'm gonna sell my horses, sell everything I have, I don't want anything to do with it. And then I sold. Everyone thought I was mad, apart from my mum and dad, who were really supportive and really kind of understood where I was and what was going on. And so I kind of just stopped, and then ended up, someone said, oh, a place near you uses horses, but they use them as a therapy. And so basically I ended up working there, and it was incredible. So I'd gone from very competitive dressage riding to working with these young adults at this, it was kind of like their college, so their university, I suppose. And they would use the horse to teach them their kind of life skills and to teach them their NOCNs and their qualifications. And I ended up doing a postgraduate in teaching whilst working there, and then ended up running a group of students. A little bit of my competitive side came out. So then I got them doing competitions and running competitions there. And that's me, take on too much. And then I stopped and had found my partner while I was working there. And then we ended up having kids. And I thought, shall I go back to that, or shall I try yoga teaching? And went into yoga teaching. And then this is my new life.
Do you have any regrets? It strikes me as something really brave to just be like, right, I'm not doing this anymore. And to actually step out of what you were in, especially when you were so successful. It's one thing stepping away when things aren't going that great and you can kind of see the writing on the wall. But if you have been almost like, not the top of your game, but like you've reached kind of really, not professional level, but it was your job, wasn't it? It was your career. So it is professional level. So then be like, no, I don't want to do this anymore. Must have been, were you scared at all? Or did you just...
No, I think what the main thing that made me do that was the environment that I was working in was like toxic. And I think a lot of, in the horse industry, people use people's passions really negatively and can use it as a bit of a way of, I don't know, kind of, making it, you kind of lose your passion because you're working 14 hour days, you're doing 7 days a week, and there's not much encouragement. And it's quite, it's not, I think everyone can relate to, just you get to a place in your life, which I suppose as people refer to it as like rock bottom. And it's like, it doesn't matter how amazing it looks on the outside and what you're doing, but on the inside, if you're like, oh, this is hell, you something in you just goes, no, that's it. And I'd never forget that day, and I was just like, wow, that's the... And I think as well, like, from obviously learning that yoga journey, that was my soul or my spirit just being like, you've got to hear this. There's more to life, please listen and please stop. And as I say, having such supportive like parents to be like, they could see all of it going on anyway, that they were like, yeah, great, good, go for it.
Oh, that's good, isn't it? That's really good. So as well as riding horses, do you still ride horses now? Have you got...
So now I'm in the situation that my six-year-old daughter really enjoys riding. I'm like, it's funny seeing horses. I find it very difficult to see horses as like a leisure activity, or you know, to jump on a horse and go for a ride, because I'm so used to seeing them as like machines. And you know, oh, I can make that horse go better, and I can do this and I can do that. So it's hard to see them in quite like a relaxed, easy way. But when I've seen my daughter ride and her getting, you know, bouncing around, I'm kind of like, oh, I remember why I got so passionate about that. So I think there may be a little pony on the horizon for my daughter, much to my husband's dread.
And then I also read that you, well, clearly riding horses, you're passionate about them, but I saw that you did some work for the Riding for the Disabled Association and organised some yoga sessions there. What was that about?
Yeah, so that was random. So I've got a teacher, lovely yogi, and she is works a lot with horses as like a therapy, kind of like what I did, but for less able bodies. And she was like, oh, I help out at the RDA. Do you think you'd like to do yoga there? So I was like, yeah. And then went to the RDA. And what's so amazing about doing it there is, again, it is like a different life, because nobody knew. I don't tell anyone about my past, because it's like my past life. They don't know that Christy, they know this Christy. So everyone was like, oh, are you used to being around horses? I was like, oh, a little bit. And it was just, it's weird how life comes in this cycle of, okay, now I'm standing in a field doing yoga with these horses. And the horses at the RDA, they just exude this like healing and peace. And they're like yogis in disguise. And they just like hang out while we're practicing some yoga and look at us strangely. Yeah, it's really good.
And so just turning a bit more to yoga then, can you remember your first yoga class? And if so, what was it like?
So I keep on going on about my husband. He's called James. I should actually call him by his first name. So when I did, and we always giggle about this, and my first yoga class, it was James, and it was his best friend, and it was one of my friends, and then one of, I think, like my mum's friend, all just like in this big village hall.
Oh, so hang on. No, this is when you were teaching. I meant you were being taught.
Oh, being taught yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
Do I remember my first class? Oh, you've got me.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It was in Scotland. Yeah. And it was being taught the style of yoga that I teach, which is Drew yoga, which is a little bit different. And I was with my mum and we were having a yoga practice. And I was like, oh, I really like this. I really like this this feeling that this is giving me. And I think, I'm not sure if I was completely hooked after my first yoga class. It took like several attempts of kind of being like, it just intrigued me an awful lot as to how it made you feel the way it did. And then intrigued me so much so that then I was like, right, I really need to learn about this. And then I think subsequently having being taught some by some amazing teachers, it just fuels you on and on and on to kind of keep that learning going. So I still feel as if I don't, I think I should go to more yoga classes because I still don't feel as if I know what I'm doing.
So just give, you said Drew yoga is a bit different. Can you just give me and the listeners a bit of a flavour of like how is it different? Like I know there's loads of different styles of yoga and I've heard of Drew yoga. I've met a Drew yoga teacher before, but I don't really know what it's like. I've not been to a class. So just give us a flavour of how it's different.
So it's and I always giggle when I was teaching my class on Saturday and there was a couple of yoga teachers in the class, which always makes you go, oh. But we start off a class by just having a little dance around and I put on some funky music and we like shake the body and get it moving. And then we go through like a sequence of movements to release tension from the body. And that makes it quite different to like hatha yoga or different styles of yoga. And we work into the koshas. So it's based a lot around the koshas. And we do like the physical, the breath, the emotional, the thoughts. And eventually our aim is to come into stillness. So where was I? So we do like release the tension from the body and then we prep the body for like posture work. And when we do posture work, I'm not a big alignment strict yoga teacher. I guide people into the right alignment, but I let them find, I always see like asanas as different shapes that the body needs to find its settling place in. So if it's slightly out of alignment, but people are still feeling where they are physically and what they need to feel beyond the physical body, then for me, that's okay. And then we kind of flow. My big thing is feeling the energy body working within the physical body. And we kind of flow from posture to posture. Or sometimes we flow and get stuck halfway with some of my yogis when they're doing different postures. And and then we end the class with a really deep relaxation or a meditation, where we just come to a point of stillness and peace and bliss to be in. So yeah, I love it.
Sounds lovely.
Yeah, I need to come.
So tell me back, I'll cut you off, about your actual first class as a teacher. Sounds like you roped your family and friends in, like most of us had to.
And it's like, ooh. And yeah, aren't they so dutiful though? Oh, and like my mum's my best client. that's amazing. That's really, really good. My husband still needs to do some more yoga. He went, I'll give you a giggle, he's got a really bad back, and he went to a chiropractor, and he's got really bad posture anyway, and I keep telling him. And the chiropractor was like, well, you need to do these moves, and showed him like the cat and showed him the tiger. And he was like, oh, I know these moves because my wife's a yoga teacher. And he said, I think maybe it's time you started to listen to her.
Oh, yes. I love that. That's so good. That's what my husband is into, sports and cycling and running. And he's been to yoga, came a few times with me before I started teacher training. And then when I started taking a bit more seriously, he was like, well, it's your thing now, I don't want to come. And then when I started my teacher training, he was like, you're not bossing me around. I was like, no, I'm not bossing you anyway, I'm trying to teach you. And he's like, no, I'm not going to be like your demo or whatever, I'm not doing it. He wouldn't play with at all. So that was at the end of that. And then like recently he's been like, oh, stiff here, stiff there, like, can you show me how to do it? And I'm like, what, just come, like, go to a class, or you don't have to go to my class if you don't want me to boss you around. You could let someone else boss you around. But yeah, it's just like that sort of realization that actually it is worth doing, because it stops all the aches and, well, not all the aches and pains, but you know, it helps to ease things, doesn't it?
When I go on to my husband, I'm like, how do you feel as you do this pose? And he's like, no, that's me done. I'm not anything more than my physical body. It's too fluffy when we talk about emotions. What are they?
Oh, and is it right that you're a Reiki master as well?
Yeah, Reiki. I don't know
how. Reiki, sorry, I don't know. I've never had a session. I don't know how to say it. Like, no.
Well, I did Reiki. So I've got a really close relationship with my mum, and my mum started, we both did our kind of Reiki training at the same time, which must have been, oh God, I feel so old. Must have been like over 20 years ago. And we did, like, you do Reiki 1, Reiki 2, Reiki 3, and then you do your master's. And I think we did our first Reiki together, and then mum went on, and then she attuned me to my master's probably about 15 years ago. And I must say, I don't, like, yoga's my thing, and I don't practice Reiki. I don't, it's something that is there, I would say, all the time, but it's not something that I work with. My mum, on the other hand, is like Reiki master extraordinaire. She is like amazing.
In what way?
Well, she's just amazing. So she's been a master practitioner for well over 20 years, and she's attuned hundreds of people to Reiki, and she's worked, so she does Reiki really like from a remedial kind of purpose. And she in Scotland, she set up hospices. She set up a unit in a hospice to work with people who were coming in and using the Reiki as like a therapy. And since she's moved down here, she's worked with Julia's House. She's worked with, you know, like lots of her clients who come. Wow, they're in, you know, they're kind of really on their journeys going through it. And she will be able to connect with them and to make them feel better. And she's so connected and energetically to what's going on with people, but also what's going on with the planet and what's going on like with the earth. And she's incredible.
Wow, she sounds really inspiring.
She is. And she's my go-to for like kind of spiritual stuff. So she's very, you know, when I'm like, I'm not sure what's going on. And I just go to my mum and but she's very matter of fact as well. So we always giggle. I always say, Mum, you should like walk around in robes and be bejeweled and have incense. But she's just like, no. Because you'd never know if you met my mum. And then when you start like chatting to her or start experiencing her kind of healing abilities, then it's like, whoa.
Oh, she sounds great. Yeah, I read, is it true as well that you work recently with her on a retreat day and just merge like the yoga and Reiki? Yeah, did you work with her?
So I've always wanted to work with my mum because I always think she is, I'm sure like and lots of people listening to this will relate to, you hear some spiritual people talk or some, you know, really in tune people talk and you think, no, that's not authentic or that's not, that doesn't settle with me. And I don't think I am, I'm not biased at all because mum's my mum, because the advice that she's given me and directed me has been like so true. And I've always wanted to work with her, but didn't know how to bring her in so we could work together. And then I did my yin training and I was like, aha, one of her friends in New Zealand did a yin session with Reiki. So when people were in the yin pose, someone would come around and give Reiki and said it was like amazing. So I was like, oh, we could do that. So we've got four workshops going on over the summer. They were all booked out within like a couple of days of them going live. And we've done two of them. And so basically I have 18 people in a workshop and I take them through a yin practice and mum gives them 3 minutes of Reiki each. And then I do a sound bath. Woo! And what mum also does is she's into like sacred geometry. So we have in the middle these amazing symbols which are gridded with crystals, which like holds the energy of the room at a very high kind of frequency that you walk into the room even before we start and everyone's like, whoa, what's going on here? And it's been just amazing. And I really, one of those feelings again of this is what I want to do. This is, you know, you kind of do things which are a bit muddly and then you do something and it's like, wow, that's it. So I'm going to hopefully continue them with her.
And it sounds like you really enjoy working with her.
Yeah, she's really, really amazing.
Oh, so what's next for you, Kirsty? Like, what have you got in the pipeline for the future?
I don't know. More learning, learning of how to bring people together and get people to feel better. And I'd love to open up my own space and have like a space that I could gather teachers and just make it a little hub of like wellness. And yeah, just continue chasing the chickens and keeping the children happy.
Yeah, you've got a lot on your plate, haven't you? So I asked these questions at the end. Lastly, what are you most proud of in your life so far?
I should have read these questions, shouldn't I? When you gave them. What am I proud of? I would say my family. I would say my husband. And I'm so proud of him and so proud of my kids. I think they're just, oh, a little bit emotional. I think of meeting James and of having those two wonderful children. Yeah, definitely.
Aww. And if you weren't a yoga teacher or professional horse rider, what would you be?
A sunbather in Bali.
<I think. laughs> that doesn't count. You can't be like off.
I just lying baby. Down, just lying down on the couch with my feet up. Whoa. Yeah, nothing fancy.
No, just a professional lying down like a sunbather. Okay.
Yeah, lovely.
So on to quick fire questions now. So I'm going to ask you some questions. You just say what comes into your mind. There's no right or wrong answer.
There are
options. Okay, so late to bed or early to rise?
Late to bed.
Favourite tune to dance to?
Pablo Nutini, Pencil of Lead. Ooh, I'm dancing already.
Who do you look up to?
That's difficult, isn't it? My mum, my dad, and my husband, James.
Okay. Favourite film?
Grease.
Oh,
love it.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how cool are you?
0.
mountainside or lakeside?
Oh, mountainside.
Tom Hanks or Leonardo DiCaprio?
Leonardo DiCaprio. Oh, and Titanic. Oh, I'd be there.
What's your star sign?
Virgo.
Who would you swap lives with just for a day?
Oh, I don't know. It's hard. I don't know. I should have read these, shouldn't I?
No, you don't get to read these. I don't send these in advance. You just have to answer them on the spot.
Who would I swap lives with?
Yeah.
I don't know. I need to think. Hang on. Let me think. Who would I swap lives with? Oh, Digby, the Labrador.
Your Labrador?
Yeah.
Countryside or city?
Countryside.
It was obvious, really, wasn't it? If you owned a yacht, what would you call it?
Rainbow.
Oh, what is at the top of your bucket list?
To sit down before 9 o'clock.
Quite basic.
Quite simple.
It's not much to ask. Describe your baddest and brightest leggings, please, Kirsty.
Oh, yeah, I've got some leggings, I have to say. I would say they're like mandala prints in all different colours. And when I wear them, you just can't match them. So you have to like go all out with different colours. And they're the kids' favourite leggings. And they're my husband's most hated leggings.
That tells you something, doesn't it? What's your favourite place in the whole wide world?
Home.
Oh, and what's your favourite yoga pose, Kirsty?
Savasana.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because that brings me on to Shavasana or Savasana sounds. So that's where I ask you if you've got any favourite music or a sound that you like to listen to, or if you've got any advice or track that you want to recommend to listeners that they should have a listen to.
Well, I've got, for myself, when I lie down at the end, I just like listening to just whatever's just quietness. But I also like listening to, there's a beautiful track called Ave Maria by Ashana, and it is just sublime. I would say it's just a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. And another one which I love and resonates with me so much is Imagine by Jack Johnston. Not the original, well, or the original one by John Lennon is obviously beautiful, but Jack Johnston, Imagine, is just, it's beautiful.
I'll put those in the episode notes so people can have a little listen to those see what they think. Thank you very much. And in general, thank you so much for chatting to me, Kirsty.
Oh, thank you. It's been great. I feel as if it's just been like a little chat.
That's what it is.
You're just having a chat. It's great. Thanks very
much.
That's it.
That's what I wanted. I wanted people to have a chat and get to know people a little bit and find out more about yoga teachers that are just going out there day to day teaching yoga.
Oh, you're doing amazing. Yeah, really. Yeah, found that very nice. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
Bye. Bye, Jill. Thank you.
You've been listening to That Yoga Woman's podcast with me, Jules Buchanan. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it, share it on social media, rate it, write a nice review, and subscribe to That Yoga Woman's podcast. Links and information can be found on the episode page in the podcast section of my website, www.thatyogawoman.com/podcast. If you'd like to show some support for the podcast, you can do that through PayPal. The donation link is www.paypal.me/thatyogawoman. The last thing I'll mention is my line of organic cotton yoga-inspired tops. I designed a small range of best tees and sweatshirts that are perfect to teach or do yoga in. Have a look online, check out my shop on my website, www.thatyogawoman.com/shop. Have a look around my store and make an order. See you soon.